Hey, hello everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Huevos con Weenies podcast. This is the first ever episode. Great, I already fucked it up. This is off to a good start. thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you liked the episode.
And I am your other speaker. What are we called? We're not hosts, are we? No, we're not. We're just...
No, we are the hosts.
We're
hosting this podcast.
That sounds so corporate, man. We are just two men discussing things in a very organic manner.
Pretty much. You know, two Chicanos just talking about life.
Yep.
About that.
Two Chicanos.
Because I already know people are going to be like, why did you call your podcast Huevos con Weenies when you guys don't even speak Spanish? First of all right, I can speak Spanish.
You can. I saw him.
Yeah, he saw me. He heard me. And... I'll choose to speak Spanish when I want to on this podcast. I can do what I want. It's my podcast.
And if you like stick it around, we'll have a Spanish-speaking contest.
There you go. Whatever that is. What is that? Whoever speaks the best Spanish?
Yes.
And between me and you, I think we already know who the winner is, dude.
Yeah, I'm not so great. That's why I have my translator here.
Yep.
Because I speak very choppy.
You know what was the weird thing? The first time you heard me, you know, I was like legit talking Spanish to you. We were at Burgers and Brew, and there was a guy next to me. Like, he clearly heard me speaking Spanish to you, and he was talking to me in English. Like, what? He just started a conversation to me in English, which I thought it was fucking weird.
Maybe he doesn't feel comfortable speaking in Spanish.
Well,
you're
I don't...
assuming his nationality, man.
Well, I thought, well, because this guy was white, right? So I only naturally assumed that, you know, he hears me talking Spanish. He's like, oh, okay, this guy doesn't speak English. He's talking Spanish over here. I also thought it was weird they decided to start a conversation with me. I hate that shit.
Maybe he was coming on to you.
I don't think so, dude. He was an old man. Old I don't know. Maybe he, I mean, maybe that's what he likes.
Too.
Dude, it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. So how? Let's talk about how you got the name for the podcast.
Okay. So,
you guys see that little cat behind him?
Basically, I know, look at him. Oh, he's taking a nap. I pet him, but he's taking a nap. All right, basically, you know, I just started thinking about, all right, it's the two of us, right? Start off there, number two.
Just the two of us.
And, you know, we're both Mexican. So, I want to incorporate that into the podcast.
Beautiful.
And, you know, everybody in our childhood, we all ate huevos con weenies.
That was
like
a best.
Good, it's a good memory, you know, just waking up Saturday mornings,
yeah.
Having huevos con weenies.
You know, is that the equivalent, like, in, like, let's say you are of white national, no, not national, white heritage.
There you go.
Growing up in America, what's your one comfort food that'll equate to huevos con weenies? I would probably say... macaroni and cheese. Like, it brings that just, it warms your soul, basically. When you eat it, you feel like a comfort, like everything's good, you're safe, something about it. And especially if you used to eat it when you were growing up, so it just brings you back, makes you feel safe. And that's why they're called comfort foods. So that's why huevos con weenies has a special place in my heart. So I love the name. So right when I heard you say that, I was down. I was on board.
Yeah. Feel it, man. You know? I always thought that the white people's, like, the huevos con weenies version for white people would be like cereal. you know? Like, what the fuck do white people eat? Like,
toasted? Toasted bread? And
toasted
butter?
Bread? Ugh. That was fucking horrible.
Oh, man.
Or, like, chili? Do you eat chili?
I eat chili.
Yeah? I've never fucking
like, chili?
Eaten.
Like, beans? Because there's also
yeah.
chili... sauce, like it's
no, not chile sauce,
but Americans fucking... say chili
they
as
say,
well
yeah,
they mean
chili.
Both they mean they could mean beans or they could mean like a chili sauce that's has spices in it.
What would the chili sauce oh okay the
it'd
spices
be like
one.
Pico de gallo
okay
things like
okay.
that
no so the beans one
okay
yeah. I don't eat that shit.
I love it in chili dogs, that's for sure.
Oh okay yeah. Just... okay I guess that's the exception. I've had a chili dog
oh yeah
before.
I don't eat it
dope.
Just straight up. Like
yeah, white
up
people
in a
do.
Bowl.
White, yeah, oh, white shit. People do. That's the thing. There's a fucking guy at my work. He just made himself a can of chili up in the fucking break room, and
oh,
he
shit.
Just ate it.
Like a Campbell's chili?
I think, I don't know what the fuck it was, but yeah, it came from a can and he just heated it up and ate it straight. Shit. I thought that was fucking gross, bro.
Damn. Like, you need to put something in there. I couldn't just...
You have to put it on something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it needs to be like a topping almost, like the hot dog, for instance. For sure. You have like four hot dogs, just think about it. And then you just put the chili,
some cheddar cheese.
And then the cheddar cheese, yeah. And then you see the cheese melt right on it, and it's the perfect addition to a hot dog. Yeah. So if we're huevos con weenies, how many huevos would we be, and how many weenies would be me?
I'll
give you the answer if you want it.
Okay, yeah, go tell me.
We're four huevos and two weenies.
That's so dumb, bro. I was thinking of it more as we're the huevos. And whenever we have a guest on, they would be the weenies. And then every week we'd be like, this week's weenie is so-and-so.
Ooh, we need to add that.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about it today, right before I came over here.
Yeah. We need to have like the weenie of the week or some shit.
There you go, weenie of the week.
Whether it's, would it be disparaging or would it be something
it's
that...
It's not supposed to.
Or would that be our fans? The weenies are our fans.
That's a good way to put it, but I was thinking more of the weenie being the guest.
Oh,
you know, whenever we have a guest on.
Like, where are my weenies at?
Oh, there you go.
We'll have meet and greets, and I'm already getting carried away. This is our first episode.
Yeah, dude. We don't
even
know.
We think big here. Think big. You see this background? That's exactly what Webbles and Weenies represent. It's just real life Hispanic living. Yep. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's the flashiest life. But you have a lot of functional things. Things that work. And...
Like
you growing up, let's say something breaks.
Okay.
Instead of buying another thing to replace it, let's say if it was your dad or grandpa, anyone, they wouldn't just run to the store and buy another one. Fix it.
Okay, yeah, you got me on there.
Put tape up that motherfucking thing that broke. And it's good to go. A little tape never hurt nobody. It only fixes things.
Isn't that like a weird dynamic between us and our parents? Like, obviously, we're older now. I'm 25. You're how old?
I am 38. No, I'm 32.
Okay, you're 32. And, you know, whenever something breaks in my house, I just buy a new one. You know? I don't fix shit. Compared to, you know, growing up, our grandparents, they would fix everything.
Yeah, like my parents.
Something's wrong with the car, they go to AutoZone, fix it themselves.
Yeah.
Not me, dude. I take that shit into the mechanic, or I hit up, like, one of our primos to help me out.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
You know, that's a stark contrast between me and my wife, is that when things break, she tries to fix it. And I just say, let's buy a new one.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing? We got money. Let's
like,
buy a new one.
Like, why even fix it? Like, just toss that shit.
It's like, no, I was looking to buy a new one anyway.
But yeah, I'm embarrassed to say it feels a little demasculate. No, I'm just playing. But she tends to fix a lot of things. So she's like the handy woman of the house. And I'm just here doing computer shit. So
I mean, it's an interesting dynamic looking at you and your wife. Like, at least from my eyes. You know, I kind of see you guys as like the perfect couple. Like, I don't know, the way your wife interacts with you, it's, like, so loving, and, like, I could tell, like, she legit cares about you.
I know.
You know what I mean? That's something, like, I haven't seen before.
I know.
Like, in a couple.
Yeah, it feels good, like, too.
She asked you earlier if you put lotion on your arms. Who the fuck asked that, dude?
Once your girl stops asking, you know, did you put lotion on your arms, or she don't give a fuck about how you dress.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. If you're a girl... stops giving a fuck about how you dress, that's it, the relationship's over. She doesn't like you anymore.
Yeah, to all the guys out there, this would be one loyalty test that you could do. Just
find a ridiculous
get some
outfit.
Of your wrinkled clothes. Actually, it'd be better if they smell too. So go into your dirty laundry.
Yeah, wait, it's obvious.
Find a dirty ass shirt, wear some dirty ass pants that's still in the you know, the laundry bin from like 2 weeks ago. Just put that on and then go out with her somewhere. Let's say we're going to a fancy dinner. That'd be a good test. Like, hey, baby, we're going to, you know, we're going to go to the mall. We're going to have something to eat or, you know, have dinner. And if she doesn't look at you from like head to toe and say, you know, what the fuck are you wearing? I'm not going to be seen with you. Then, yeah, you got a problem. You need to fix it or get the fuck out. But if, you know, if she's like that, I don't know if there's any fixing that.
So, like if she just didn't care. Like,
if she didn't care, you can't just make someone care.
That's true.
So it's not like you could.
She didn't care at the start. Why would she care, you know, like 9 months in?
Unless you go like the psychology route, right? Maybe it's something that you're doing. Maybe you're not showing enough attention.
That's kind
and
of a lot
of work, though. So you have to reverse engineer your situation. And then you start doing those things. You know, let's say you don't have to bend over backwards, but there's little things that you could do. That'll, you know, make her look at you a little differently, which will then fix your relationship. But, you know, if she doesn't like you because you don't have any money or things like that, that's different. But
that's
if there's
for sure.
annoying yeah. shit that you do that you know she hates, and maybe that's why she's a little resentful towards you or doesn't like you, then, you know, it depends. So if anyone's out there, good luck, because that's not easy.
Does it feel good knowing that your wife went through it with you when you guys were poor?
Heck yeah. Yeah.
She's still here.
We were dirt poor too. Lived in a trailer. I was working. Well, they say it's full time in retail.
Huh.
But they only give you like 25 hours. So if you're like 25 hours to 30 hours, then you're considered full time. And it sucks because you're getting minimum wage.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you have no social life because the way retail works, you're basically, you know how on a regular job you work Monday through Friday and you have 2 days off, you know it.
Yeah.
But in retail, they'll fuck your shit up. And they'll give you 2 days off, maybe even 3 days off, but they'll give you like Monday off and then your next day's off like Thursday, and then they give you Saturday as well. So it's like all spread out, or maybe Sunday, Wednesday. And that's it.
Yeah, it sounds fucking horrible.
Yeah. So even on your day off, you know, if in that situation, you would know that you pretty much can't do anything. It's my day off, but tomorrow I work.
Yeah.
My days are spread apart.
Get ripped with your buddies. None.
Yeah. Can't do that. Not realistic. So that's why, to get to your point, I digress. It wasn't always this easy. Now it just feels like second nature. You know, we react well to each other. I don't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, it sounds bad. There's no trying to impress. We're just ourselves. But it wasn't always like that. And on the contrary, it was rocky in the beginning, and then it got smoother as time went on. Some couples experience the complete opposite. You're in your honeymoon phase, then it gets rocky. So, and that's the overall theme with this whole thing, is that everyone's situation is different. But yeah, you got to feel that shit out. Complex.
You feel like in a way you kind of got lucky?
Yes.
Like that you found your wife?
Yep.
Because like, I mean, I can only imagine how many people were like in your exact situation and decided to just fucking bounce.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And honestly, it's weird because back then I didn't have too much experience with relationships, you know. So now it's funny because now if I was put into the same situation, like let's say I got out of this relationship and then I try to start something new somewhere else with another person, I don't know if I would have the patience enough to stick around as much as I did with this relationship.
Especially dating nowadays, it's fucking hard, bro.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you know, I'm getting older, looking to settle down more, and kind of the same thing. I just don't have patience for.
Is the dating world hard this day? Like, back then, when I was, you know, in my prime.
Yeah.
Growing up, there was no Tinder. That was the closest you could do would be like fucking eHarmony.
Yeah. I remember those old ass commercials. For sure. I think it has to do with the fact that, like, kind of weird to say, but like sex is so easily accessible now. Like, you could just download Tinder, make yourself a profile, and just see all these people who, obviously, you know, not all of them are down for sex.
Yeah.
But
is there any keywords that you could put in your profile? Or let's say that was your goal to, you know, you, let's say you're feeling promiscuous that day and you put a profile up or whatever. See, I'm already sounding like a boomer. Put a profile up. This is assuming you already had a profile.
Yeah.
What or how would you even interact with the person to know that they're on the same page and you don't go into it and you get nothing in return, you know, in terms of the thing that you want, in this case, you know, having sex?
So for, I mean, I know that guys, they're more, how you say, they're more forward with it. So like, obviously, they'll be obvious, you know, like on their profile, they'll put like that they're down for sex or that they're looking for sex.
Oh shit, it's like that. And they actually put it.
Yeah, fucking creepos. and then
do they put DTF or just down to fuck? Any code words?
Probably.
Or just straight up blunt. It's like
DTF.
Okay.
Probably, you know, say a different variation. Okay. It's like obvious, like, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Girls are a lot more discreet, obviously, because you don't want to be known as the town whore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna be a slut, do it in secret, ladies.
That's crazy. It's like a guy could do the same thing, and, you know, in his social circles, he would be considered, you know, like someone who gets it. And guys tend to respect that. I'm sure in circles, you know, for the ladies, they also cheer each other on for, sure, yeah, you know, all the dick they get. But
especially nowadays.
Yeah.
It's like empowering to get dick down all
but
the
in
time.
Terms of the way men look at women, they tend to look at women like, oh, the ones that have high numbers just are for the streets. So it's looked at in a derogatory term.
Yeah. And then back to what I said, you know, like girls, they're not as they don't make it obvious that they're down for sex.
Yep.
Some of them do, like they'll put like pretty descript jokes. Like, oh, show me your cock or something.
Oh,
a joke about, you know, a dick or something.
Yeah.
About them sucking a dick.
Shit.
Yeah. Those chicks are cool. But, but you know, most of them, they keep it a secret that they're, you know, down to have sex.
So what's the common interaction you get when you're on an app like Tinder? Like, the people who want to have long relationships also find someone that's on the same level, or is it mainly just for people to hook up?
I mean, genuine relationships do happen on Tinder, you know, but I think it just depends on what kind of person, you know, because you could say, you know, you're looking for a long-term relationship.
Oh yeah.
But then once you start hooking up and you realize like, oh, this person isn't like cool, then you just bounce. Yeah. That's why, like, it's so easy to just find somebody to hook up with.
And that's crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like you hook up before you actually get to know the person, and then you'll find out like a small detail about them, and that's like they don't want to hang out with you
breaker.
Anymore. Yeah, for sure. You know?
Oh shit. Have you ever had any crazy situations when meeting someone and then immediately think, why did I meet this person?
I once went on a Tinder date, and I picked this chick up and we were going to go get something to eat. She was telling me like a story in the car about what her mom said about her meeting me. And she goes on to say, let's say her name is fucking Brittany. She's pretending to be her mom. She's like, Brittany, I swear to God, if one of these guys breaks your heart again, I'm gonna fucking beat him with a tire iron.
Oh,
she's like,
fuck.
She's like legit yelling this at me, like as if she was her mom
the
car.
And you're all like,
yeah, I'm just like, hey, what the, like, this chick is fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah.
And that was like, that was the one time that I actually did, you know, think to myself like, oh fuck, this was a mistake.
So at that point, what was your goal, girl? Was it just to find someone to hang out with or hook up with or maybe start a relationship?
I was like really young. I think at the time I was like 18. It started off as looking for somebody to have a relationship with, but we ended up just, yeah.
Okay. So that conversation or her telling you that story didn't steer you away enough for you to just get out. Or is it also different where, you know, it's not very appropriate for you to just back out right away? I'm sure there's savages out there that do, but even if they're crazy, do you just want to see where it goes and then you'll just kind of figure that out at the end whether you want to do something or not?
I think, like, obviously, like, in the heat of the moment, like, oh, you know, I was 18, you know, let's be honest here, I was thinking with my dick. You know, you just, I was thinking to myself, like, you know what, fuck it, you know, she's a little crazy, but let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
You know? That's what I thought of at the time.
Hey, they say that's,
I don't think like that anymore.
You could have is with a crazy girl.
They do. Yeah. I don't think, I don't know.
I'd just be scared of getting stabbed.
Might not be worth it. Yeah, that's the thing. You gotta worry about getting fucking stabbed.
Yeah,
dude.
You break up and then before you know, you're headed to work. And when you're getting up in the morning, you just see her standing over you.
Actually, I had, speaking of girls stabbing you, I have a friend who told me a story about the chick that he was hooking up with.
Yep.
Right? And he said that she was like legit batshit crazy. Like, like they would hook up like all the time, right? And like, this is a little gross for this podcast, I think. But one day when they were hooking up, he said that she like violently pushed them to the bed and just fucking like lifted his legs.
What?
Over his like, you know, like where he's like fucking like change my diaper position. No. And then she started eating his ass.
Oh shit.
Yeah, dude.
He
told me that she did that. And then
sometimes
same chick. He said
enjoyable.
That and he tried to break up with her and she like threatened to kill herself and fucking stab him and
shit. Imagine
he had a couple bruises.
If you were in the same situation, you're forcefully, you know, pushed to the bed, okay. Kind of fun. And then your legs get spread out and then all of a sudden, you know, you weren't prepared for this, but it's happening. I guess it depends on whether.
Yeah, what do you do? Do you say stop or do you like push back
it
into
feel
it?
Good at the moment?
Yeah. You know, you know what the weird thing is? He said it felt awesome.
Yeah. You know, I had a similar story from someone and it was quite a surprise too, but they enjoyed it. I wouldn't know myself. Haven't gone down to that, not that level.
You've never had a finger up your butt? I have. I'll admit that on this podcast.
I
don't think anybody's going to be listening to it this far.
I don't know. If you are, then you're a real one. And welcome to the Weenies Club. $19.99 a month, and you get access to our exclusive early Patreon. Now that's coming. But no, we're just glad that you're here.
Yeah. But yeah, I've had a finger on my butt before and felt awesome, dude.
I wouldn't
not gonna,
say
not gonna
it's
lie.
Awesome. You know, some males would be a little uncomfortable because I don't know, they're not comfortable with, maybe they're not comfortable with their sexuality. I've seen a lot of guys like try to be man just for the sake of. If they see like two guys kiss, just do the opposite. Like they gotta. You know, when they see, let's say if they accidentally ran into a clip where two dudes were fucking, if it was me, I would be laughing and I clicked the fuck out of it. But someone else would be like, you know, they'd be mad. They'd want to fuck their girl at that time, like just to prove to themselves, oh, I'm not fucking gay.
Really?
Yeah.
Kind of weird. I cringe when I see gay people kiss.
Yeah.
Kind of gross.
Well, yeah, it can
well,
be
to
gross,
me at least.
But I wouldn't be festering on it. I would just click
out. Oh, no,
out
yeah.
It.
I would see it, and I'd be like, ugh. And I'd just, you know, go about my day.
Exactly.
But granted, everybody listening, I would do the same if I saw a dude and a chick like making out with each other.
And what do you think about public affection?
I fucking hate it. It's fucking disgusting. I hate seeing it.
Yeah, to all the guys and girls out there, do you display affection in public? And if so, how far do you get? Because, yeah, I've been to places where it just feels uncomfortable, where, you know, there's people making out right in front of you with no consideration as to who's around you.
Like, bro, you're in public. Have some shame. I don't know. I have rules when it comes to public display of a PDA. All right,
what are those rules?
Hand holding's okay. Like, I'll hold hands. I'll do the arm thing, which holds onto your arm. And I'll do just a peck on the lips or on the cheek or the forehead.
Well, let's say she was smoking hot and you were very horny. If she just grabbed your fucking head like this and then just went in, would you accept it and go with it? No, you'd be... How would you react at that point?
I would be severely uncomfortable. I remember I went on this... I went on a date with a very lovely girl. I'm not trying to knock her or anything. And then she... You know, we got done with it. We went to a restaurant. We got done eating... Walking her back to her car, and before she gets in her car, she wants to give me a kiss. I'm like, okay, you know, I go in to give her a peck, and then she starts to try to make out with me, and it was honestly the most uncomfortable I felt like ever. It was nighttime; we were in a parking lot. Man. I mean, there wasn't like that many people around, but still, we were in public.
She was trying to
force it. Yeah, she was, and I just was not about it, man.
Seems like it'd be a little violating. Like it'd feel a little
it
weird.
It felt fuck. Not to sound like a bitch, but yeah, it did feel violating. Like,
no, that's what this podcast is about.
I wanted to just get the fuck out of there.
Hell yeah!
You know what I mean,
so if there's things that you know are taboo, you know, or not usually discussed. We're going to talk about it because that's what, you know, as far as me and my cousins, you know, Jay, the creator here, he's my cousin, by the way, we're primos. We talk about a lot of different things, topics. Some of them are really fucking out there, but we talk about it.
That's for sure.
I think that's what kind of this podcast is. It's going to be like one where it sounds, you know, corny. No, it doesn't sound corny. It sounds like cliche, right? Like, but we want a community where it feels like, you know, we're all a family. That's what Huevos and Weenies is about. Is we want to, you know, whether you're Mexican, Asian, white, black, doesn't matter. But, you know, we all have that sense of community, at least with my cousins. But I think we could expand this and just include, you know, what everyone else is, you know, talking about and kind of bring them in. You know, we're here in open arms. Let's have discussions. So I think that's what that's about. And I'm sure that's what Jay, the creator, when thinking of this, had in mind when he was thinking of the podcast. This discussions like this. You're just no pressure. Just if it's fucking weird, it's weird. But yeah. We could talk about it.
No, for sure, dude. And, you know, obviously, because for me, it's hard to talk about a lot of subjects with anybody else. Other than you. Sorry if that sounds gay as fuck.
But, well, it's the truth.
Yeah.
Same here.
Like, I can't talk about like half the shit we talk about with our other cousins.
Yeah.
Either like they don't get it or I kind of feel like they just don't care.
Exactly. It's,
I mean,
it's almost like you got to be fucking joking, right? Like they don't, they will hear you out, but it's sure, like but they take everything in a joking manner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
my brother's kind of the same way. I try to like talk to him about some serious shit, and then you know, he'll just make jokes about it, which kind of like deters me from even
like
talking to him.
Why is that? Do some people?
I think they just find it uncomfortable, to be honest. And they just try to go the joke route to.
They have like get a wall up.
Stop talking about it. Yeah.
Kind of like an emotional wall where they don't dare cross it.
Like with you, I've told you a pretty big secret of mine.
Yep.
You know, do you still remember it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I've heard multiple secrets. I like to think I'd share it a lot with you that, you know, a lot of the family doesn't know about or I haven't discussed with them. But Yeah, so that's sure. That's why it's perfect that
nobody else knows my secret. Only my I told my mom. I had the courage to tell my mom.
Oh, what dang, happened. You did.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think last time we spoke, I don't think you've told her at that point. It happened. It was like maybe when we were gaming at some point, because me and Jay the Creator here, we game pretty often. And it's funny because they're almost like our therapy sessions. We just fucking talk about, you know, our day or what we're thinking about. But yeah, I think that's kind of where we got this feeling is like, oh, like maybe we could do something interesting in terms of, you know, making a project together. Cause it's just, we kind of fit like,
we click.
That's what it is. Like a remote control.
There you go. So yeah, so I had the courage to tell my mom my secret.
How'd she react?
Honestly, she was pretty sad by it, but you know, we got through it together.
Nice.
You know?
Oh yeah.
This is fucking awesome.
Yeah, it seems like you and your mom kind of have been growing closer as the years went on.
Oh, for sure. Because you know, like I told you before, growing up, me and my mom, we didn't have like the best relationship.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot better now. Even my relationship with my brother and sister.
Yeah.
A lot better.
Do you think it was like through your initiative as you're getting older, you kind of feel like a little more mature to start discussing, whereas when you were, you know, younger, you weren't comfortable with conversating in these topics or kind of expressing yourself in this way?
Oh, for sure. Like, obviously, you know, these problems that I've been having, obviously, you know, they started from when I was young and still followed me throughout my, you know, teenage years and into my adult life. As a teenager, you just can't, it's hard to talk about these
things. Yeah.
It's hard to talk, and then you don't really know many words, so also hard to even put it into a conversation.
Yeah, it's like you're not equipped with the correct tool.
Or like, you don't know how to process feelings. You know what I mean? Or at least I didn't when I was a teenager.
So in turn, what is that? When you have something to express, but what tends to happen is people get frustrated.
Yep.
They feel anger. Basically, bottle it up. Let's say, you know, you had a lot of. Let's say you're a Coca-Cola bottle, and
keep shaking it.
Taking it, you know, those are your feelings.
Okay, try That's to pop you. The top off, it explodes.
Exactly. So instead of, it could explode if not equipped with the correct tools. But if all you knew, if you, like, just all you needed was, like, a little, you know, bottle topper to pop that cap off. And that's your tool when you grow up is, like, instead of bursting out with these feelings, now it's like you have the tool, kind of like a beer opener,
yep,
to release it in a much more fluid way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I think about it. But shit.
Yeah. So as I get older, you know, it definitely is a mission to get closer to my.
Oh yeah.
As best as we can.
Because they won't last forever, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. They won't.
Like,
You know, some things I'm still not ready to discuss with my mom, or with my brother too. There's still some things I need to tell him, but not in the right place yet.
You think it's because of his age? Like, he's eventually he'll kind of sit down and instead of taking it as a joke. It's not that he thinks it's a joke.
No,
maybe
it's
he
just
knows
his,
you're serious,
it's
but
just
he doesn't
his
know
age.
How to handle it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, my brother. Fucking great guy, but he, you know, he is younger than me. He's not as matured, as I am.
How old
so
is he now?
He's gonna be 22 next month. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I remember what it was like to be 22. You know, fucking dummy over here. So just trying to make, you know, family relationship better. What's the relationship like between you and your mom?
Me and my mom, we talk about what. We talk on the phone about what, but the thing that, you know, growing up, the way you were raised has a lot to do with how your personality is. At work, a lot of the times, like, they say, why, how are you so chill? I also, you know, worked in IT where I had to, you know, man the phones and be on the phone with people who are very frustrated. Whereas someone in the same position, they would also get frustrated answering the phone. And then the person, they kind of feed off each other, you know.
Yeah.
Let's say someone's kind of disparaging you on the phone. And then if you're not chill and calm and collective, then you're going to get frustrated. And then you're kind of going back and forth.
Yeah.
And then it's not productive and the problem never gets solved. But a lot of the times, like in my reviews, they always say, like, no matter what the situation is, the roof could be burning, the anything, like anything crazy could be happening, and then you're always so calm, and it kind of freaks them out, because what you see now is kind of how I am. It's just things could happen around me that are pretty catastrophic, and then I'm just still chill. But to bring that back, it's because of how I was raised. If there was anything that I wanted to get into in terms of like a hobby growing up, I made music. Just anything that I wanted to do as a kid, they would always encourage me. And or let's say it was something that's skill based. So I want to play basketball. Like, she would always kind of give me that motivation, optimistic. And that's how I am, optimistic. So that's why I could be calm and collective. Like I said, I'm circling back, calm and collective, because I had that optimism when I was growing up as a kid. So in turn, when I'm older, now that I'm older, I have that optimism. Like, things may look bad now, but, you know, there's always a chance for them to get better. Even if the situation is pretty bad, you know, maybe your finances aren't in order or there's some other issue, you kind of just have to have that thought that you're just going to be optimistic. You know, eventually you don't even think about it. You don't even think, oh, I'm going to be optimistic. You just are. Because otherwise, what's the alternative? You're just, you know, angry.
Miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's just all it is. It's no matter what, just feel optimism. There's hope. Kind of like people, what they learn when they're in prison is, you know, they're going to get out someday. You know, one day I'm going to get out. And it's kind of like that. Like, they may be in a bad situation, but you just know that's the only thing you can count on, is that you're going to be good someday. So, yeah, that's how our relationship is, and I'm pretty thankful for that. So yeah, we talk once a week, and yeah, we never fight, never argue.
Mom was always there for you.
Heck yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
see what optimism does to a child growing up.
I know.
To a Mexican child growing up, no less.
Yeah,
you know, because I noticed that in the Mexican community, at least, you know, as a kid, at least with our generation. Yeah. Growing up, you get yelled at a lot.
You do.
At a lot and put down a lot.
Yeah. And it's kind of the culture, right?
To put down your kids, yeah.
Yeah. You know, how many chanclas have been thrown? And in Mexican family, it's not just your mom spanking you. It could be your grandma, your uncles, anyone that's older than you.
Anybody could hit you, yeah.
Yeah. You just have to learn how to dodge them chanclas, like, as they're being thrown at you.
Isn't that a kind of weird dynamic, how, like, I put so much trust in, like, a different family member to hit your kid?
I know.
Like, well, he must have fucked up somehow to piss off his uncle.
Yeah. Like, I don't, it would depend. Like, if I had a kid, I guess these days it would depend. Like, if Chewie hit my kid, I would know, okay.
I would never fucking hit your kid, dude.
But I would know, like, if that ever happened, like, okay, like, this guy is no bullshitter. He'll tell the truth. Or we're real with each other. But it can't just be any random, you know, primo or anything.
Like, fucking beat your kid and then lie to you about it.
Yeah.
Like, no, your kid, he hit a cat or something. Yeah. No, I would never do that.
So that's another thing. That's another topic, is in a Hispanic family. And you kind of see this in American households is they don't agree with spanking your child, but in Hispanic culture, it's very common. And being someone who grew up that way, where you did get spanked for doing bad things, you hear this a lot, is I don't feel any resentment towards that. If I did get spanked, I deserved it. Because I remember they were trying to spank me quite a few times. I was known as like the trouble child. I would just run away, no matter who it was, and then laugh.
Yeah, my grandma tried to spank you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she used to take care of you.
Yeah.
And she tried to spank you.
Yeah. And then I would make a scene. Like, we would be in the store. I'd make a scene. And then she'd say, you know, she was going to spank me. And then I kind of screamed in front of everyone, then do it. Do it. You know, things like that. Kind of that will provoke her. Because yeah. I know, you know, she's being watched by everyone here. And she's not going to spank me at this
yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
At this moment. I was bad.
Like, yeah. I'm not gonna get spanked in the store, but I'll take it when we get to the house.
Yeah. So yeah, I was bad. I deserved it. And how was it like with you, Chewy, growing up? Did you get spanked?
I did, but I legit would have to have fucked up somehow. Like, I got away with a lot of shit growing up.
Yeah.
Because, to be honest, I've never asked my grandma this, but I kind of have an idea of it. I feel like my grandma felt bad for me because, you know, as a kid, I haven't even asked my mom about this, but my mom, you know, she left me to be raised by my grandparents. For whatever reason, I don't know. I haven't asked
her. That's kind of a mystery, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of the questions I have for her, but like I said, I'm not even ready to talk about that yet. Even talking about it right now, I kind of want to cry.
Yeah. It is real shit, man. And I'm sure. You know, you kind of represent what some of the listeners, like, I'm sure there's situations where you're being raised by someone who's not your parent.
I'm sure. You know, everybody has their shit. You know, maybe fucking, not saying about my mom, but somebody else, maybe their mom, you know,
I know,
leaves them with a grandma and fucking goes out partying or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But but yeah, so I was raised by my grandma and I got away with a lot of shit. And I feel like I got away with a lot of shit because she felt sorry for me.
Could be.
That's how I feel. I've never asked her. I don't know if this is true. So, you know, don't take it at face value.
Did you ever?
No, go ahead.
Did you ever act out because of your situation?
Oh, like, yeah, for
you
sure.
You just wanted
yeah.
to release it somehow and you were kind of rebellious?
Yeah, I actually talked to my mom about this and because I was growing up, I didn't have either parents. Like, my mom was gone and my dad was gone. And technically, the parent I saw the most was my mom. So whenever I would have, like, bullshit with my dad, I would take it out on my mom. I would do something to, like, fuck up or make her angry. Or, yeah, like you said, I would rebel in some way. I was fucking rebellious as shit when I was a teenager. I was, like, sneaking out. Like 4 a.m. to go see my girlfriend and shit.
Oh, damn.
And just fucking doing hooligan shit, dude. Yeah.
Did you...
just to get my mom to notice me.
That's what I was gonna ask.
Yeah, I got bad grades on purpose because that was the only time my mom would talk to me.
Shit. Yeah. That's real.
Yeah. Because, like, you know, we've had conversations before. You know I'm not stupid. You know?
You're a smart guy.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I didn't like school anyway, but... I would get bad grades and not do my homework because that is when my mom would talk to me. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. And you know, to be that young, I think that's
it's not something
that someone should.
It's not good.
Not healthy.
Fuck no, dude! I wasted so many years being angry at my mom for shit my dad would do. You know, that's like one of the things that I do regret to this day. I know you shouldn't regret how you were raised
because
it makes you the person you are today.
Exactly.
But that is the one of the things that I do regret, being like an asshole to my mom for shit that my dad would do.
Dang. Yeah, and there's a lot of things that I did as well, and I feel bad about a lot of times. Or this was mainly when I was, you know, around my 20s, sometimes I did shit that would anger my mom and I feel bad about it. Or sometimes.
Same. I've said shit to my mom that I fucking regret.
Yep. Same here.
Horrible shit, dude. I just feel bad about.
Like, there was a time, just to get real here, like, 3 years ago, we went to visit my parents in Mexico. This was when our relationship was rocky.
Yeah.
We would argue all the time. My parents, you know, I feel bad about it because they just wanted us to bond, everyone.
Yeah.
And Gabby and I kind of ruined the night because fighting made it awkward for my parents as well. Also, they feel bad for you because they don't want to see their...
Of course, nobody wants to see their son unhappy. Exactly. You know what I mean?
So there was just a point in the night where I grabbed Gabby's glasses and threw it, you know, like from her face, you know, grabbed it, threw it out of the car, and I out and picked them up and probably scratched the glasses, but we argue.
Yeah.
Stop, you know, crying because how we were acting.
Of course, yeah.
That's one of those things that it didn't really, you know, physically hurt my mom, but it was just between.
Just the fact that you made your mom see that, what upsets
you. So that's,
you. Yeah, dude.
Because of my behavior, that's something I feel bad about.
Do you think she still kind of thinks like something might happen between you two?
No, I think she knows we're good now. Kind of like you kind of see like, oh shit, we're working now.
Okay.
So yeah, she calls and then she asks about very involved in how we are, our well-being.
That's good.
Yeah, she knows we're in a good place. Like I said, it was wrong. And any other person probably would have been in a relationship when they were fighting all the time. Stuck it out for like years being in a rough patch. You know, and this is just one of the things out of many that rocky place. Now, I think we're kind of being rewarded, not for sticking around, but for kind of eliminating those things that made us fight in the first place.
Yeah.
So, I feel super bad now. But,
having
to
put your mom through that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that you can't even take back.
Like, fuck no, dude. Once it's out there, it's out there.
Exactly.
Nothing you could do.
No matter what you do, like, the only thing you could do now is basically just be nice as fuck and make up for it.
Be better than how you were.
Yeah. And that's all they care about. For all I know, my mom doesn't even think about that moment. But it's just stuck with me.
Just knowing the fact that she knows it.
Exactly.
What bothers you.
Yeah. Yeah, that emotion that she was experiencing at that time kind of makes me feel bad. But yeah, all in all, I think, you know, as you grow older, you stop, and this is different for everyone, but you stop trying to deal with bullshit. So if you're dealing with something that's affecting you negatively, you just want to eliminate it or fix it. Or if it's a relationship, you just have to fix it or get out.
That's true.
Because you don't want to grow older and then just be in the same situation. Repeating like a loop. But I, you know, I've had friends and even people who aren't friends that I've seen that are just going through a loop this whole time. Even when they get out of a relationship, they'll just go into another one and repeat the same cycle. So I hope whoever's listening, you know, just think about, you know, your well-being. So even if you do like this girl or like this guy, don't just keep repeating the cycle because it's you only have one life. You don't want to just go in a loop and have a shitty life.
That's the thing that that's the thing that I worry about, because obviously, you know, we do have one life, and depending on your beliefs, you know, when you die, either that's it or you go to heaven. Right? Me personally, I believe that we go to heaven. And apparently there's also reincarnation. Apparently that's also possible. Too. Which is kind of weird. I mean, me personally, I've opted out. from. I mean, if I get the choice, I want to opt out of that. I don't want to get reincarnated. I mean, that means
just start fresh with no
memory. I'll lose memory of all you guys. Yeah, until, you know, I die again, and then my spirit goes back up, and I get to see all you guys again.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, hopefully I do get the choice.
Wouldn't it be crazy if your life was just a dream? So let's say you get to the end of your life.
That'd be fucking
horrible.
Or you
get to the point where you get into a car crash and die, and then you just wake up, and then you're in a new life, and then you're living through that life. And then you die, and then you wake up and just do another life.
It would be so much bullshit if the dream life that you did have, you actually made something of yourself.
Mm.
And then you wake up to your coma. You wake up from your coma, and you're like a fucking bank teller who lives in like fucking Alabama.
But didn't you have dreams where something, you know, you got rich or... You fuck this beautiful girl or anything. It could be anything. And then you just wake up. Or to the simplest form, you dream that you're living on the weekend. You know, it's a day off. And then you wake up and you realize, oh, I have work.
That's funny because I don't dream like I'm a millionaire or I'm having sex with hot people.
What's your most common dreams, or what do you dream about? If you do dream, not everyone dreams.
Yeah. Lately, I haven't been able to remember my dreams, but when I would dream, it's typically either just me in a random scenario on the weekend or flying. I don't know why, but I have a lot of dreams of me flying.
That's a good one.
Yeah. How about you?
For me, have you ever had these dreams? So there's common dreams. So one of them is that I feel my teeth are falling out.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. I feel like my teeth are so weak. And they're falling out. And then, like, in the dream, I'm, like, noticing, like, how the fuck am I going to live with no teeth like this? And then I, like, try to shake my teeth. Yeah, they do. But in the dream, you don't think about that.
Okay.
But then I'm, like, all making sure my teeth are pretty stuck, the ones that I have left. And then they keep falling out. So I researched this. It was more common back in the day. But apparently, if you have...
Back in the day, like, the 1950s?
Oh, back in the day, like when I was 20, 21, 22, oh, okay. When I was really kind of thinking about the way I look.
Yeah.
Because growing up, I thought I was ugly.
Oh, same here, dude.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, not to get off topic, but I do want to talk about this.
Okay.
Basically, I researched that when your teeth are falling out, you kind of have a subconscious thought that, you know, you're ugly, or you're always thinking about your appearance. So basically, by your teeth falling out, you're thinking, you know, how can I live with myself like this? Like, in turn, that's you being ugly, right?
Okay.
So you're very conscious about the way that you look. So that's what I found out about the teeth falling out. But there's other dreams that I dream about, like I'm trying to run and then I'm like, I can't run. It's like I'm moving really slow, like I'm running away from something or someone.
I've had that before.
And then I'm like, why can't I run? Yeah.
I've had dreams where I'm like in a fight and my punches are super slow. Like, and that makes me worried about real life.
Yeah.
I think like, oh fuck, what if I did get in a fight? Would the same thing happen?
Yeah.
Like, nah, it's just apparently it's when you're dreaming like that, when you're in a fight and you're making fast movements, you're legit
moving, you know, and you're being blocked by your bed.
In your sleep, yeah, in your sleep, you're trying to move, but you can't.
That's what I thought, man, because it happens to me. Have you ever had any lucid dreams?
Yes, I have, and they're fucking freaky.
They are.
One lucid dream I had, it's so weird, because, you know, I was having the dream, and then, like, something clicked. And then I was in the dream controlling everything. And I don't even know where I was. It was like this dirt compound. And I was driving a car for some reason. But I had
like Call of Duty, man.
I had to get inside. So I'm like, I had full control of the car and all my movements. And I just fucking gassed it and broke the fence. And then I woke up.
Damn. I've had lucid dreams very where quick. I realized that I'm lucid dream and you have a sudden urge to wake up, like you don't want to stay in there because, like, suddenly I have control and I know I'm in a dream. What if I can't wake up? So you basically test out the waking up part.
Yeah.
So I wake up immediately, But as of late, when I did have them, I think, okay, I'm in a dream. And then I just accept it. And eventually, I forget that I'm in a dream.
This one's kind of boring, but I did have a dream where I realized I was dreaming and I went to go use the bathroom. And then, you know, I'm pissing. But then I remembered reading, like, if you piss in dreams, you piss in real life.
Yes.
And then I freaked out and woke myself up and I checked myself. Luckily, I didn't piss myself, but that was how self-conscious I was.
I could attest to this, man. Like, I've had dreams I didn't realize it was a dream, but I had to go pee really bad and there was like a urinal and then it feels wrong.
Same place. Like, I was in a urinal. What the fuck?
Like, it's
not
like wrong.
It's not like I was at home using the toilet. No, it was like a public place. I was using a urinal. One of the long ones.
That's crazy. Yes, the long ones.
What the fuck, dude?
We're in the same dream.
You were like two urinals over.
Yeah, probably were. In the same dream. But yeah, and I'm thinking, like, I have to pee and there's a urinal. Why does it feel so wrong? Like, it feels wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to pee. Like, in real life, while I'm dreaming, like, okay, I'm peeing in the urinal, but something is weird about this.
It felt like I was peeing, too.
Yeah. But me, I really did pee.
You did pee.
Yeah, and then I woke up and I was pissed.
Because you pissed yourself.
I was pissed because I pissed.
Yeah. Fuck.
But I've also had dreams where I had to shit, and then I shit in real life, and bed was all...
Are you serious?
Shat on. No.
Oh, shit. I was gonna say, oh, dude.
I'm all making like a, what is it? You know how they make like snow bunnies or snow angels?
You're making
I'm
shit
all
bunnies?
Making oh, shit angels.
Yeah.
Like on my bed while I'm rolling around. Yeah.
So we're both descendants of immigrants, right? Your parents, they came to this country in the 70s.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. My grandparents came to this country in the 70s.
70s?
I don't think so, dude. Some of the stories my grandpa tells me, holy fuck, dude.
It wasn't good for Hispanics, but in general, the culture, like you had Jimmy Hit.
For Americans, sure. Yeah.
Woodstock.
My grandpa told me that, you know, during his, obviously, you know, race war during the 70s in LA between the Mexicans and black people, fucking horrible. My grandpa told me that once one of their friends got jumped by like some black guys, and then him and 12 other Mexicans hopped into this pickup truck, and they like drove around looking for the black guys. They found them, right? The driver and the passenger, they get out to talk shit. The black guys start to square up, and that's when they all jumped out, like 12 Mexicans. From the back of this pickup truck, jump out with like fucking chains and fucking 2x4s.
Like old school fucking,
yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Fucking beat it. Yeah, it's Michael Jackson's beat it. And they all started like beating the fuck out of these black people. And my grandpa said that one guy started to run away and he chased after him. He chased after him for like 20 blocks until he realized that he was by himself in a black ass neighborhood. And he fucking just ran back to where all his friends were.
What does your grandpa think about black people? You know, we're discussing everything. There's something taboo.
I mean, they're
real life.
They're cool with black people. Okay. Like, they don't hate. I'm surprised, despite what they went through, they don't hate black people.
Yeah.
You know, because some of the fucking other stories they've told me, it sounds. Ew.
Well, it's like my father-in-law. Like Chicanos, right?
Yeah.
Hispanic people were always fighting blacks, but that was just how they grew up. There was always street fights. To this day, kind of feels like they're adversaries. I mean, he could get along with them, like
okay,
he
friendly.
Yeah, just
cordial.
Cordial. But in terms of the way he feels, there's still something about the way he
still hates him.
Kind of, yeah. And
I mean, I can see
that
it.
Kind of, I guess, like if we were always, let's say we're growing up now, when we, for some reason, every time we walked around, some sort of, you know, group of people wanted to beat us up.
You know what? That's funny because in high school, you know, I would walk to and from school. Whenever I see like black people, I'd go the other way, dude.
Yeah. See, it's crazy. Look at him.
Oh, he sneezed. Poor little guy. Yeah, so where I was going with that, you know, obviously we're both descendants of Mexicans. Do you feel like, because you, from your parents, you're the first generation born here in America, do you feel like you have, like, this responsibility to do better for them?
Better for them, like?
Like, give them shit they never would have imagined that they would get.
Yeah, I feel that way.
I do too.
Yeah, I feel like I could feel they're happy when I get further in life.
Yeah.
And
but you want to do more.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can give them shit.
Exactly.
And they never would have been.
I always told my mom when, you know, if I ever strike it big, I would buy her a BMW. So I kind of have that ambition
to get her the BMW.
Yeah, one day. So it's weird. Like, it's not your parents being greedy or your grandparents being greedy. Like, in terms of, you got to do better for me. You like, can tell it's coming from a good place.
Yeah. Like, here's the weird thing. I've spoken to my grandparents and my mom about this. They all tell me to, like, not worry about them. Like, do my own thing.
Yeah.
But it's just me, myself. I give myself this responsibility to take care of everyone.
Yep.
I don't know what it is, you know, I can't exactly pinpoint why I feel this way, but it's just me, myself. I'm not going to be comfortable with my life unless I give them all the things that they never would have imagined that they would get.
And I wonder if it's just from like first generation.
Because I'm second. You know?
Oh, you're second. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm second.
Is it a cultural thing, or do people also feel that way when they're, you know, their parents are born here and their parents were born here? Like, do they still feel that same ambition? That would be something that we could discuss maybe with someone born here all along and their parents were born here. And
you know who would be good to ask that? Sammy, our cousin. Sammy. Cousin Sammy. Yeah. I don't know if he still feels this way, but I remember once he said that he doesn't owe his parents anything. I remember he said that one time.
Dang, we need to get him on here and discuss maybe a phone call.
Yeah.
And just...
at least ask him about it.
Kind of pick apart his brain. I'm sure now that we have this thing set up, maybe people who want to get their ideas out or discuss with us something that they're thinking about, maybe we could pick apart their brain a little bit and see, you know, this is almost like a science study as well, right? It's like we're studying kind of like the social aspect, cultural impacts of how we grew up, we're Hispanic, we're American. Maybe we'll learn something all of this. So, yeah, hopefully we could get some people on, maybe some guests, whether it's fucking Zoom calls, phone calls.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll keep them 6 feet away from us in the same room. However we could get them. But this is going to be fun.
Definitely some questions to ask the cousins. Because I am interested to know how they feel about, some of the things that we feel about.
Exactly. And they don't always agree with us. We're all on...
Yeah, like maybe Sammy does feel like he doesn't owe his parents anything.
Exactly.
That's fine if he wants to feel that way. If that is how
he's
he feels.
Another one of those guys where it kind of feels like he doesn't like discussing sensitive topics either. He kind of reminds me of how you're describing Brian. He kind of jokes around.
He does
when it comes to serious topics. But I would love to discuss with someone that has that type of mentality and
Steve.
Yeah, Steve as well. I would love to discuss with them and see if maybe there's something that we're missing. Maybe we're not seeing something. Maybe we just need
to
see
them.
Yeah,
who knows? Maybe we're in the wrong.
Exactly. Maybe we need to see them through another lens. Maybe we have the wrong lens. That could get interesting. There's lots of different routes we could go here.
Have you ever... like back to the point of, feeling responsible for doing better for our families. Everybody in my family has been telling me not to move to Vegas.
Whoa.
Like they don't want me to go to Vegas.
Did they give a
reason? No. or their mentality, obviously, you know, they have the immigrant mentality, right? Where, you know, you get the safe and secure job and you stay there for the rest of your life.
Yep, like, but, get that paycheck.
Yeah, you know? Like, bro, what you doing? Why are you going to go over here and risk, you know, losing your good job? And it's like, it's not like that anymore. Maybe it was, you know, during their time, and that's why they feel that way. Yeah. But in my opinion, that's not how it is today.
Yeah.
Because all these companies, you know, they're fucking us over the techs.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're expendable.
Yeah.
You could find, I mean, especially in the Bay Area,
the street,
you get, anywhere. Yeah, you get fucking fired, and then they'll hire a new guy the next day. That's how quick our turnover is.
Yeah. That's the thing. Is it just only IT where you're expendable, or is it just
construction workers are expendable? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Anybody can fucking knock down a wall.
Being in IT, you're kind of like the digital janitor. You know, you're fixing shit. You're cleaning shit up. If you just work with software, yeah. I guess it depends. You know, some people do
like coding and shit. That, I mean, yeah. Obviously, if you're in like the Bay Area, yeah you can find a coder in the Starbucks next over.
Yeah.
But in terms of like just being a normal repair tech, anybody can do that.
That's the thing, is that I hear that coding isn't really IT. So IT is more like, and this is weird because they both, think about this, they both rely on, let's say you're someone who does, you know, troubleshooting on computers.
Yeah.
You never touch a physical thing at all. You're okay. Just remote. And then there's a coder.
Would they be considered an engineer?
The
like a software engineer? Coder? Yeah.
Yeah, they would be. Okay. But let's say you also have someone who works like at a clinic who let's say they're up on the front desk and they're like a registration clerk.
Okay.
They just deal with computers. Like they're just checking people in on the computer
like
in software. Yeah. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're IT just because they're solely working on a computer.
Gotcha.
So it might be the same thing where coding is difficult. It really is. But just because they're working on a computer doing coding doesn't mean they're in IT. IT, from what I looked up, is basically people who work on, you know, databases, network infrastructure, things like that.
Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know if that's right. Like maybe coding is also IT. I think of it as IT, but mm-hmm. When I saw this description online, I kind of just had another thought about it. It's like, yeah, maybe it's the same thing like that registration clerk, is that she's just working or he's just working on the registration desk. Only on the computer. There's nothing else to it, let's say. But just because she's on the computer the whole day doesn't mean she's IT.
Gotcha.
So that's another thing to think about. And maybe we could talk about this with someone who really does code. Or, you know.
We could find anybody.
I'm sure someone will. I mean, they are expendable, right?
True. In the Bay Area. That's, I don't know about over here.
But yeah. But yeah.
Anyways, yeah, yeah. So that's why they don't want me to move to Vegas. They just want me to fucking get a house here, just work at the same job.
Man, California is tough to live in right now.
It's fuck, dude. It's gonna get worse because you know, when Joe Biden, honestly think that Joe Biden is gonna get elected, yeah. And then fucking taxes here in California are gonna raise up again.
Yep.
It's like I don't understand. Like maybe I need to look more into this. But, like, how many times have we been taxed already? Like, California.
Up the ass.
Taxed up the ass. We're one of the states with the highest
tax rates.
And it's all to help the poor. How much more help does the poor need? Or, like, where's the money going to help them?
You know, that's another thing.
And then they tried to do rent control. I think that was, one of the props was rent control here in California. You can't just charge whatever you want anymore. The local government gets to decide.
I think less government.
You know,
if I were to describe myself, really, I would be a I would very much be like a libertarian where I think we should have small government kind of have a balance, because I don't really agree with there.
No.
But I think we strike a balance here. Like we shouldn't rely on cops for us not to be shitholes, do bad things. But I think we need smaller government, and
you think we need to bring back mob justice?
No, it's dangerous. So that's why I feel we do need these for sure. But I'm sure everyone this is that, yeah, maybe put more money in terms of, you know, training and
yeah, I like
equipment, things like that. And really just, you got to get out of this reality that we're victims.
Make it like, harder for
we're Mexicans, like me and him, we're two examples of people who are brown, grew up in the country with very little, started part-time jobs. We weren't rich, our parents weren't rich, our grandparents weren't rich.
Nope.
And we made it up the ranks. We're not fucking rich right now, but we're comfortable enough.
We're definitely better off.
Yeah,
for sure.
So, but I know I have, you know, friends and people I grew up with, maybe in school, that have that victim mentality that they're just trying to keep down. I see no proof of it. Like, I feel if you try hard enough, and you don't even have to kiss ass, because I don't either, but you could, as long as you have, it's supply and demand. As long as you have the skills to do it, then someone's going to hire you, no matter what. So you got to get out of that victim mentality and stop feeling sorry for yourself. Just go out there and do it. Like, no matter what color you are, do it. If you have something that is valuable to someone, then
they're gonna pay you.
They're gonna pay you. That's it. You're not gonna go anywhere if you're you know, setting the bar very low for you. So set the bar high and try to strive for it. Because yeah, we're proof here. We made it. We're brown, and I'm sure we have had, you know, people discriminate against us at some point, but I'm not festering in it. He's not festering in it.
Nope.
Because who are they? They're just another human. If someone's talking shit about you, then just know that they're another human. Like, they're not God. Who are they? Like, you should just say you're the shit and just go after it. Because one day, you know, they'll see.
Have you ever experienced racism?
I'm sure I have. A lot of times. Sometimes when I'm, even to this day, maybe because of the tattoos, but maybe because I'm brown, you know, people watch me a little closer. Or you notice when you go to Best Buy and people are just too eager to help you out. Like,
yeah.
Well, that's how it is sometimes at the grocery store with me. Like I said, I don't know if it's because
people give you side eyes at the grocery store.
Yeah, when I'm, especially like I'm in the liquor store, like the liquor aisle, things like that. But I don't pay no mind to it. They're not saying shit to me, but I know they're watching. But it's their store, and I'm just gonna buy my shit. So whether you want to look at me or not, I'm not gonna steal shit. So look at me all you want. Take a picture.
I kind of feel like the same way about it. Like, obviously, you know, I'm one of the lighter skinned Mexicans out there. I think, or am I brown to you? Am I brown?
Well, you're not. I've seen darker Hispanics.
Yeah.
You're like light.
Yeah, I'm like a lighter skinned.
Yeah, lighter Hispanic.
Okay. but yeah, definitely. You know, you get a feeling that somebody's watching you because they think you're gonna steal shit, and you know, I just don't pay any attention to it. I just, you know, buy my stuff. Leave.
Exactly.
Pretty much it. And I don't know if this counts as racism. I think it's more like discrimination. But I remember one time in high school, I tried to get help from my counselor, and she wouldn't help me. She would just criticize me. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What'd she say?
She would just she would take a look at my grades and shit, and she would be just be like, "Oh no, this isn't good. Like, why aren't you trying, man?" Yeah. And then at that school that I went to, you're allowed to walk around and listen to your headphones if you're not in class. And I had them, I just had them, like, you know, just hanging from my shirt. So when I get out of class, I could just, you know, pop it in. Easy. And then she takes a look at my headphones. She's like, I bet if I walked into a classroom, I would see you with your headphones on. And which, you know, it's not possible because, you know, the teacher would be able to see you, dude. Yeah, and then it turns out that she got fired because towards all the Hispanic kids, she wouldn't help at all. And to all the white kids, she did help.
Fucking
crazy. And it might have been a blessing, to be honest, because she got replaced by a Mexican dude.
It reminds me of that security guard that I had dealing with a couple years ago. Yeah, dude.
I still remember that.
He ended up getting fired.
Yeah.
And turns out he was
fucking racist. Yeah.
I'm not going to say where this is.
It's so weird, too, because he was like, apparently he was racist to the black security guard. And like, I mean,
the problem with
that. It took that company that long to like fire the guy. You know what I mean? That's definitely, yeah, dude, fuck him. Fucking bullshit. Work was bullshit after that. I liked working with you.
I know.
It was fun.
Good times.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we worked with each other and it was fun. Like, I wish I could say on camera. Probably not the best.
No.
But, yeah, it was fun. And a lot of times we would be accused by, like, our boss that we were just slacking around because we're cousins. But, no, we were fucking working. Got in there.
We did so much shit for that company that we shouldn't have done, dude.
Bent over backwards.
When we didn't even have to.
We didn't even get noticed or anything.
Fuck no.
Just we took on big projects, even projects where we had to move a bunch of shit. We never got anything for it. Didn't get paid extra. Because they were smart and they had us on salary. But yeah, it's times that I did have, it was fun. Like,
I think it's just
I remember, like being in the group, like me and my cousin working, doing shit that we like to do.
I think like everybody in life has to have that stepping stone of bullshit that they have to go through. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was that job.
Yeah.
You know, like what happened? We have better jobs now.
I know. You know? It worked out for the best.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, jobs are tricky because you don't know really what you're signing up for when you're interviewing. Like, you'll only know when you get into the...
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'm finding that out now. Fucking A.
Yeah.
And, like, my... I think I can say this because I'm not... Nobody from work follows me on my social medias. But my boss, he's one of these tech entrepreneurs, right? And I noticed with these guys, when they try to explain something to you, they have to give you, like, a whole backstory breakdown of what, you know, is happening. Like, I'll ask a question, right? And he'll give me this whole backstory background. But he, like, won't answer my question. And then I'll have to ask again. Okay, so you want me to do this? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, fuck, dude, you could have just said that instead of giving me this, this 5-minute speech.
You know, I get accused of the same thing when I'm talking. It's like, I like to give you the whole context and then I answer your question. But it doesn't sound like he's answering your question. But
no,
like
he's
with
not.
Gabby, she'll ask me something. It could be something simple, and then I give her the whole context.
The whole backstory.
The whole backstory, so she gets it when I say it. But she's like 1 minute into my speech there, she's like, all right, so is it or isn't? I'm like, wait, I need to tell you about all this. But maybe I need to learn to break my subjects down, like my my points or my answer. So that's something I need to learn. We could all work on something.
Of course.
But I would like to think someone out there would like to hear the whole context.
Sure they
and
do.
And then I'll give the answer. But
I think I do.
It
can't remember
timely.
If you've done it to me or
I'll
not.
I'll be speaking for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And all she said was, do we have milk in the fridge? And
do you remember when I told you that I have a coworker that I hated? So here's the thing. So like, oh shit, stupid mic. I fix this. I don't know what it is, but when I have a gut feeling that I hate somebody,
yeah,
there's merit to it, right? I don't like Spaniards, right? Why? You may ask, because they're fucking racist and nobody's talking about it.
But that's
right?
A little racist.
Spaniards are racist. Say what you want, Spaniards are racist.
Although that's not really racist, right? That's just, what is it? There's a difference between racism and prejudice. You're prejudiced. Racism is when you think your race is superior than the other.
Oh.
Prejudice is when you discriminate towards a certain group. And that sounds like what you're doing. You're prejudiced against the Spaniards, but you're not racist towards the Spaniards because Spaniards are not a race. They're a nationality.
Whatever it is, fuck Spaniards.
What it... You're gonna lose all our Spaniard.
I highly doubt any fucking Spaniards are listening to this. If you're a Spaniard and you're listening to this, go away. I don't like you. Your race is horrible. That's it. That's all I gotta say. Fuck Spaniards. Anyways, like I said,
How do you say Spaniards in Spanish?
Just, you know, los españoles.
Los españoles.
I think that's how you say
los españoles.
You know, la gente de España.
Disculpa, de este hombre
españeros,
aquí. Españeros.
I don't know.
Disculpe mi de españeros.
Just making up words.
Porque este hombre aquí no representa el...
the show's ideals.
How do you see
it? El show's ideas.
No representa los ideas de este programa. Y este hombre está culpable por ser mucho gravedad.
All right, anyways. So, yeah, so it was my second day at this new job. And, you know, I meet this dude. And automatically, like, clicked. Like, I fucking hate this guy.
Why?
I don't know. At the time, I didn't know. Okay. I didn't know why I hated this guy. But just something inside me told me, fuck this guy. Right? But last week, right, this all happened while you were out of town, which I was so upset about because I wanted to fucking tell you immediately.
You could have texted me or called me.
No. I had to tell you this in person. So this fucking guy, right? My boss tells me to take out the trash to the fucking the tech room, right?
Okay.
I don't want to do it, but I notice if you fuck around and do the thing that somebody told you to do, they don't say anything. So I'm like, okay.
Like, thank you, or what kind of thing you say?
Like,
or they should say.
Or like, if I'm fucking around and I'm not doing my job, they're always going to say, hey man, why aren't you doing this thing I told you? And that leaves a bad taste in their mouth.
Okay.
But if you're fucking around and doing your job, they're like, all right, at least he's doing his job. Okay. You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's how you gotta play the game, dude. I noticed with these fucking guys. Okay. So there I am taking out the trash, right? We have at my job we have two dumpsters. One is specifically for cardboard boxes, and the other is just the rest of the trash. So I'm emptying out all this shit. This guy that I hate, he sees me take shit from the recycle bin and put it into my garbage bag. And then he says something to me. He says, Jesus, you know you're supposed to put that in the recycling, you know?
Saying it like a bitch like that?
Yeah, like a fucking pussy, dude. And, you know, I tell him that, you know, like, you know, I heard from the bosses that we're just supposed to put cardboard in the recycle dumpster. And he reiterates it again, like under his breath, looking away. He's like,
how old is he?
He's older than me, dude. He's like, I think he's like your age. Yeah, he's a bitch of this.
Still talking like
this? This is the fucking guy that doesn't want to own a car. Like, he's one of the, yeah, like he rides a bike everywhere. Like, who the fuck rides a bike everywhere,
this
dude?
This guy,
he's like 30 something and he's riding around on a bike. What the fuck, dude?
Unless you're in San Francisco, like, don't fucking ride
what
a bike.
The fuck? Get fucking grow up.
and then you see him on the street, he's riding like a fucking tricycle.
Yeah,
like,
dude. So, yeah, so he reiterates to get like a fucking pussy. And I tell him, like, dude, I'm just doing what I was told, you know? So I go out. This motherfucker waited till I left the room to go take out the dumpster to go snitch on me to the boss.
Oh, shit.
And then they had to explain to him, yeah, the dumpster is only for cardboard. Because I come back and I see him talking to them. I was like, immediately when I saw that, I was like, you fucking pussy.
Was he, like, talking to them and then looking at you and then talking to
them? No. I think because, like, they immediately told him, like, that he was wrong. And then...
How'd you find out?
I could just tell. Like, once I walked back in, after I, you know, took out the trash and shit, yeah. I saw him talking to them. And I just knew. I just knew. This motherfucker snitched on me.
Oh, fuck.
And then I don't pay any mind to it. I go back to my seat. I'm just fucking doing my work, you know, so nobody says nothing to me. And then he comes over. he comes over and he's like, hey, Jesus, I just wanted to, you know, apologize to you. You know, it's because I really care about the environment. And I thought, yeah, dude, at that point, I was like, man, shut your bitch ass up. Like, you really care about the environment that much that you have to say something to me like a bitch? Yeah. You know what I mean? And like I said, dude, I don't have any problem with anybody at work. If I don't like you, I just don't associate with you. Yeah. I'm like, hey, no worries, man. And then
only
that was
what
it.
You had to say.
Yeah, I was like, no worries, man. I was like, that's it.
Yeah. You know? That's one principle in this life that you need to learn. Don't be a fucking snitch, you know? Unless, like, if you're courteous with someone and you're cordial, like, if you have a problem with someone, you address it with them first. If they don't listen, then yes, okay. Take it with your higher-ups. But if you have a problem with someone and then immediately, you may say a comment or two to them too, but you're not directly addressing them and telling you, or you're not telling them your concerns.
Here's why I hated his apology. Because he didn't really apologize to me. He blamed it on the fact that he was an environmentalist. Like, he cared about the fucking environment that much that he had to say something to me. And then, do you remember when, I think it was like that weekend I first started the job, I told you about him, how I hated him.
Yeah.
And I felt like he would snitch on me if I was on my phone.
And he did.
And he did. And he did. And that's when I knew. That's why I fucking hate this guy.
You get a pass if let's say you have a problem with someone and then you actually tell them, like, oh, I have a problem with this. Then yes, all right. You could, you know, if you feel the need to fucking, you know, tell on them, then just do it. Might be a bitch, but hey, even if I hate you, I don't dislike that you did that because I expect that from you. But if you have a problem with someone and then you immediately snitch without discussing with that person first, then you're a real bitch for that one. So just take it up like a man or woman and just fucking, if you have a problem with something or someone, just say it. Like, tell them. Yeah. They might understand. Like, if he told Chewy, if he told Jay the Creator here,
it's okay,
that he had
Chewy.
A problem. All right. Chewy. If he told you in a better way and then he tried to get you to understand, then you might have listened to him just a bit, you know, or at least you would have at least respected him telling you straight up before, you know, telling on you.
Honestly, when he snitched me to my boss, I kind of understood that because he just didn't hear when the boss told the story of how you're not supposed to put recycle in the recycling bin. Yeah. It's just cardboard. Like, if he, when he apologized, if he had just said, like, hey, dude, I'm sorry, I fucked up, I would have respected him.
Yeah.
But the fact that he blamed it on him being an environmentalist, that's when I was like, okay, man, you're a fucking phony.
I bet if you really looked at this guy's day to day, you would find something that harms the environment.
Probably.
Some
you
people
know?
Just have a stick up their ass.
They just fucking, yeah, dude. It's like, he works like 6-hour days. And at work, he's like, oh, man, I'm so tired. Like, man.
What kind of phone
up.
Does he have?
I don't know. I think an Android.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you said
like
iPhone.
If he had a flip phone.
Because if you said iPhone, I would be like, well, they make those at sweatshops, so.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Fucking Nikes, they make them in Vietnam, sweatshops.
Yep. Man, that's crazy.
Where are we at right now with our time?
We are at an hour and 28 minutes.
Fucking hey, dude, that flew
I
by.
I think we have enough right now.
For sure. You know?
I don't think we want to talk about everything right now because that.
No, dude, we got to save that for like fucking podcast 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, and if you have stuck around, then thank you.
Thank you so
Any
much.
Any closing words from you, Chewy/Jay the Creator?
I'm not looking forward to telling my mom that I talked about her on this podcast. I'm hoping she takes it well.
Yeah, I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you're talking about it, then that means you care.
For sure.
You're not just over here talking shit. You're just...
No, yeah. Yeah. I haven't said anything bad about my mom. Just,
he's just...
You know, just telling the reality of our relationship.
We're kind of expressing ourselves here. So if anyone gets mad of us expressing ourselves... Then
that's another thing.
What's the
dude.
Fucking point?
Yeah, like, what's the limit? Like, obviously we talked about some of our cousins on this podcast. Are they going to be angry?
And if they listen to it, then I even hope they listen to it.
I hope so.
This is just an extension of ourselves. This is just merely an experiment to see or to learn new things. Not only that, but to learn things about ourselves and hopefully maybe even get people on board that think the same way or want to be part of like a large, something that's larger, you know. Hopefully we could get a lot of like-minded individuals and maybe even people who think differently than us. I think this could be one of the things I kind of think about is like Joe Rogan experience, right? Yeah. He brings people on that he doesn't necessarily agree with or people agree with. Yeah. And he still opens up discussion. And I'm sure everyone says this. He's a large part of people who do podcasting. He's a big inspiration. So
for sure.
This is kind of, you know, not only a tribute to that, because I don't know if podcasting would be in the same place if it wasn't for him. Also, you know, we want to do this for ourselves as well. So if you hear something in here that offends you, we're sorry about that, but talk to us first. Yeah, exactly.
Please, just let us know.
Yep, that's what I was going
to
say.
Don't go fucking talking shit to the family. Just tell us like, hey, man, you said this on your podcast. I don't really feel cool with that. It's like, all right,
sorry.
If you
have a problem with any of the ideas, you can send us a message, and we could even talk about it here on the show. Call us up.
Send us a message on either of our Instagrams. Mine is @_JTheCreator, same as my Twitter. Yours?
Well, I got to get a public one because I'm a pretty private person.
Okay.
I don't have
his Instagram is under construction.
It's under construction.
If you want to send us an email, you could send us an email with, you know, just ask. You can ask us anything or just tell us how much you like the podcast at huevospodcast@gmail.com.
Do we have that address right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. This man thinks ahead.
Yep. We also have SoundCloud already. And
we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully this could also be a place where we share content from people who listen to us, whether it's music, short films, anything.
That'd
it could be
dope.
Anything. And, you know, it's hopefully we all learn something. I know I've said it to death at this point, but I really want to kind of drill that into your brains. This is basically just a hangout spot. We're talking, and it's cultural because we're also the products of us growing up as two Hispanic dudes. So
look, if you're looking for people that talk about intellectual conversations, you're not gonna find it here. All right, just two fucking cousins that talk a lot of shit.
Yeah, we may be a bit intellectual sometimes, but
for sure. And definitely, man. I'm for this. My goal with this podcast, you know, is more of an outlet than anything. You know,
exactly.
I don't have anybody to other than you. I don't have anybody to talk shit out with. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We explained it earlier, you know, talking with our cousins is like talking to a brick wall.
Yep. That's why I'm excited about this. So,
oh, for sure, dude.
Yeah. Follow us on all of our social media. We'll leave links, anything. We'll leave it in the description. And I know my page is under construction, but maybe by the time this goes up, it'll be there. So just look out for it. And hopefully you join us for episode 2. We haven't even mentioned this is Halloween night. So I hope you guys had a nice Halloween night. I hope you guys stayed safe and not basically I hope you didn't die. So All right, until next time. That's it.
Yep,
anything?
That's it. Love you guys. Laters.
Peace.